Right now, you're listening to Hip Hop Digest with E Green, King Killer B, and Kurt G.
The Lord told me to tell you that a white boy, 11 years old, went to his mama and said to mama, I know I'm born a white boy. I know I was born in the white family. I know I was born in the money. And you got blue eyes, mama. And I got blue eyes, too. Mama, I know I was born a white boy. But mama, inside, I'm a nigga. Mama, I've been holding it back. I've been reading and I've been on the line. I know I got blue eyes. I know I got blonde hair. But mama, inside, I'm a nigga. I want to be a nigga. Mama, I want to be a nigga. Mama, I want to eat watermelon. I like hot sauce. I like a basketball and I don't want to work. Mama, I'm a nigga. I'm a nigga. I'm a nigga. I ain't no white man. I know I got blonde hair. But mama, I'm a nigga. I was born a nigga. Can you take me to the doctor? Can you take me to a doctor? I want to be a nigga.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And even E Color. What's up, y'all?
What's good? Hey, that's what's up. So, I'm not apologizing. Just, you know, taking a couple of weeks off here, a couple of weeks off there. Shit, niggas busy.
Vacationing out here.
So,
oh well, one of us.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah,
nigga, you live in vacation land, nigga. I don't want to hear from you. Niggas go out there for vacation.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, but you been on vacation, my nigga.
I'm local.
All right, that's what's up. So we're back in at full strength and whatnot. We don't get right in because we got a few topics. And first topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Rick Ross' new record, Set in Stone. Now, this is a treat because we all three got a chance to listen to Set in Stone. I'm going to set the table here, okay?
You said it was a treat?
It's a treat because we all three listen. So sometimes we all three of us don't get to listen, two of us talk about it or whatever, but we all three get to voice our opinion.
All right.
But I want to set the table at the first violation.
Oh, damn, a violation?
Yeah.
Off the break.
Right off the break, yo. It's the first violation. This nigga comes in weighing a hefty 19 songs at 1 hour and 5 minutes. In this digital age, my nigga? Are you stupid? I mean, what is that?
B.
Okay.
Yeah, he has some shit on his mind.
I'm just saying. That's the first violation, but I'm saying.
The first, Kurt.
He's the first.
Yeah.
So how many he got?
I mean, he's got a few up there.
World Cup just happened. Was it a red or a green?
Oh,
oh shit.
Or yellow.
No, he going straight red, sound like to me.
He going straight red. He says a violation. Well, he likes a tidy 10, 30 minutes.
In this day and age, in this world, you can't do more than that. You can't do more than that. But that's the first violation, okay? It's the first violation.
Man. All right. Violation.
There you go. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Ross, with that amount of records, 19, it's bloated. It's bloated. You know, it's like a federal budget. It's just bloated. As I'm listening to the record, I'm like, damn, okay. There are some good things, though. There are some good things.
Care to share?
I will. I will. I took time. Now, to me, it is also bloated with songs. It is also bloated with the amount of guests. Okay? The amount of guests is just insufferable. I mean, that being motherfuckers, Big X the Plug and all these nut niggas. I mean.
Gee, that's my nigga.
All right.
The biggest.
The largest.
All right. That's good. No doubt. But anyway, but forget about some of the guests. We'll get to that. Let me talk about the good things. And there aren't many, but there are some. Okay. First of all, Ross is doing what Ross does. Okay. I give him credit for that. Whether you think that he should be doing that, or whatever the case is, he bet his whole career on that image, and he's got to live up to it. He's got to live up to having a lot of money, private jets, and a fleet of vehicles. Now, whether that's the actual, who knows? But his career's based and founded on that, and he's still doing it. All right? I'll give him consistency on that. The best record on the album, Mahogany Caskets featuring T.I., that beat, and I'm arguing with niggas, but that beat is murder. I don't know who produced the beat, but that joint's fire. Ross, again, he's doing Ross. He's not doing anything extra spectacular other than what he usually does. T.I., who equates himself well and is fucking riding the beat impeccable, all right? So, you know, shout to the OGs, you know, the veteran niggas on that aspect, Mahogany Caskets. The beat is incredible. I think the record is incredible. But I like the other veteran offerings, but that's another story. All right. Now, Ross is still good on music, but not that many tracks. All right. Minx in Miami, and people will be like, oh, that is original. Old school niggas like us would be Knowledge Me. Original concept. Then backed up by Master Ace sitting on Chrome. All right.
Yeah, you went old school.
Yeah.
Well, original concept.
Original concept.
That's where Master Ace got it from.
That's where Master Ace got it from. That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
Old school. Yeah. Niggas don't even know original concept. Well, yeah. All they know is Master Ace. Yeah. If they know that.
If they know that. And the record is Knowledge Me on Def Jam Records.
Knowledge Me, man.
Thank you. All right.
Can't forever forget that.
Yeah, of course. So, anyway, Minx in Miami. Okay, shout to him. But wasn't, Ross.
Wasn't that, my bad. Wasn't that, what's his name? Not Special Ed. What was his name? Ed Lover? Not Ed Lover. What's the other kid?
Oh, Dr. Dre.
That was Dr. Dre.
The original, the New York Dr. Dre.
Was it part of that group, right?
Yes, a part of original concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. Ross is still good, not a lot of examples, but Ross is still good at picking gorgeous music.
The beats, okay. I liked a lot of the beats on there. So I will say that.
I'm going to say there's three. Okay, Maybach Music 7 is the typical. If Ross stays in that lane, that Maybach Music lush type of production, he's good money. He got out of the lane. He's got two flat tires on a lot of that album on the side of the road. And then there's another one, Diamonds Never Die. Again, gorgeous music. The amount of guests and the amount of garbage niggas on there cannot even rap is on this record. It's an ill-advised situation, you know. And then lastly, The Algorithm. Again, gorgeous tracks. I mean, Ross is good money when he's picking these type of beats, all right? But shit, really, as I'm counting, what I'm saying, 1, 2, 3, that's 5 tracks right there. He only needed 4 more to put out good money. You know what I mean? But he went way overboard and shit. You know what I mean? So this could be part of the problem. Def Jam's not involved. This is strictly Maybach Music and some label or licensing outfit called Gamma. I don't know nothing about it. I heard Joe Budden's and them niggas talking about that shit. I don't know who they are. Been in existence maybe 5 years. Ross is over there with them. But that's my 2 cents on the record. I think Ross really only fucked up at the length and the amount of guest. But I mean, Ross is doing Ross. And
damn, you went from prosecutor
from a violation
to defense on this motherfucker. Boy, I mean, switched your whole shit up.
I wouldn't say I'm defending it. I thought that's just really an honest review because a lot of motherfuckers is on Ross for other reasons, and we'll get to that. But I'm just saying that he ain't doing nothing that he hasn't already been doing.
I agree. I'll let you get in last because you're coming in with the hammer. I'm coming in with a pretty much balanced, almost sounding like Mr. Killer back here. But I listened to it and I'm like, okay, this is Ross. This is what he does. The beats, I pretty much, as we've been saying on this show, he picks. He's probably one of the best rappers that he picks the best beats. He's one of those. You got niggas out here that can't pick beats, but he can. And he picks very good beats. I will give him that. The beats on this album, you had 19. I probably like 8 of them that I was like, okay, 8 of these beats I can fuck with. And that was like a little less than half. But him rhyming, and I'm like, okay, this is Ross. This is what he does. This is how he rhymes. But it's that extra bloat that got him. them other niggas on the mic that just can't hold a candle to him. Other than T.I., I'm like, why is he got this nigga on here? Mm-hmm. He got my man Big X on there, but Big X doesn't fit those type of beats.
No, he does not.
Big X is he's Texas, baby. He needs some of that. So I don't know.
It's fucked up, I think, when Young Miami is sounding better than 90% of the niggas on there.
Did you just say...
B, I'm trying to tell you.
Did you just say spin that shit?
B, I'm trying to tell you.
Wow.
From Kodiak, the Don Toliver niggas, the Frenchie, all these nut niggas.
He blew out the budget.
B.
He brought everybody in. But, called in all favors.
And none of them niggas sound good. At least what she rhyming about is bullshit. Look, I'm not pumping her up. But you know... when we sit down and we listen to shit and we think about, damn, who's really hitting and sticking the track? This broad is sticking the track. You know what I mean? What can I say? Other than T.I., who is, you know, shout out to T.I. because I thought he did his thing. You know what I mean? But God, when you got bloat like that.
And bloat, a lot of bloatware.
When you got bloat like that and it's just sort of like you don't have any quality control. You know, the sour grapes is put bagged up with the good shit. And so you can't buy the package because you got sour grapes in that joint. So.
Damn. Nah, B.
I'm not saying. I
didn't go that far.
B, I'm not saying she's good money. I'm just saying on the track, she was
fucking up the game right now. That's what you doing.
Compared to them other niggas.
I'm not fucking up the game. I'm just saying.
B, don't you never out your mouth again say that Young Miami sounded good on some track. I said
sounding good relative to the garbage niggas on there. So don't. So
trash is trash, B.
Hey, B, you want me to trash her just on a GP? And
no,
I understand that sentiment.
I'm going to still talk. I'll wait till you get done, though, because I'm done.
I'm sorry. I'm done.
Because what it sounds like to me, nigga, is you trying to get a job or something. You need a job down in Maybach or some shit, because there is no bail money for this shit. It was too fucking long. You talk about, and Curtis talking about the tracks being good. Fuck that. The album ain't tracks, and it ain't a fucking instrumental album. So he gets bail money because he picked good tracks, but he's still doing the same shit. That's bail money. All those different artists, and none of them sound good. Not even T.I. to me. It was a trash album.
Damn.
Trash.
That's why you went last.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow. Damn.
Yeah, I'm not giving no credit for this shit, B. Like you said this, we've said this on many occasions. Yeah, Ross picks good beats. Put something to that shit then. Put something to that shit. Or send them shits up to KRS-One then. And flip that shit. You know what I'm saying? Not spend that shit. Flip that shit. But anyway, it's like I'm listening to y'all, and it's like it's just my humble opinion. It sounds like you want to give him some credit, but I'm saying that nigga should merger with Ross and sell that shit on the shelf in Ross, because that's where that shit belongs. Discount bin somewhere. B, that shit was bad. It was a bad album. Nobody's... Tell me one thing that you... Give me a bar. Give me a bar. One bar from the album.
I can't give you a hat. I can't give you nothing.
I can't give you any bars, but you're not going to give bars. That's like me just hitting you on the spot and be like, that new AZ album, fire, give me a bar. They be that something. Well, okay,
you're defending yourself fine, but we're not talking about AZ.
No, what I'm saying is that... Look, I thought I put Ross into proper perspective because it wasn't like I was hyping the record up. But I'm just saying, as you listen to the record and then you hear, I mean, whether if it's a good track, and Ross got plenty of good music up there, but that's just a track. You ain't hear me praising, absolutely, yo, Ross is really fucking in the pocket. You didn't hear me say that. I said that about T.I.
Miami.
I said she and rhymed in the pocket better than a lot of the mush mouth. But I'm saying she did. Now, what she rhyming about is garbage. Okay, her subject matter is typical brawn panty talking about a nigga hitting it and what she's doing to the nigga. All right, that's whack. But I'm just saying, I can't hold, when I'm doing that type of critique, okay, there's some motherfuckers that I will just wholesale. Like a motherfucker, just off the top of my head, a motherfucker like Max B. That motherfucker whack up and down the slab. First of all, he can't rhyme on beat. You know what I'm saying? And what he rhyming about. Now, granted, he got his fans who talk about, you don't understand that wave of shit, course, nigga. Okay, cool. Course. I don't. But nah, B, I certainly didn't think that I was giving Ross all kinds of, like, yo, nigga, get his nigga a pass. I don't think I was doing that.
And I'm about to back you up on that one, B, because I didn't hear us giving him a pass. I know you felt like we was probably giving him a pass because we didn't shit on him the way you shitted on him. But I shit
on the album.
Only thing I was doing was saying he does what he does. This album doesn't sound like anything he hasn't done in the last 10 years. Yep. It sounds like a Rick Ross album. It's just this album, for some strange reason, he made it waited too long to come out with some shit. But he is getting shitted on from all different angles, and you're not the only one.
So let me ask you then, both of you, will you listen to the album again?
Probably not. Probably not. Not listen to the whole album.
You gonna wait for the instrumental to come out.
There's certain songs, if they come on, I won't turn them off because I like the beat.
Mahogany Caskets will get run. That beat is slapping. The point blank, B. Mahogany Caskets, that beat is on. And then T.I.'s doing his thing. So, I'll listen to that record again.
Duly noted that out of 19 records, you'll seek it out to listen to it?
I will listen to it again because it's not a whack record.
I'm saying, would you seek it out on your deck to put it on?
I mean,
that record.
That shit is probably because I listened to the Ross, it's probably going to come up random, and I've listened to that record several times.
And
so,
you won't turn it off. I got you. Like Curtis said, there's records that he's going to hear that he ain't going to turn off. I got you. I don't feel that way, and I don't have a problem with y'all feeling how you feel, because it is what it is at the end of the day. Right. He's still Rick Ross. He's still going to be running around saying Maybach music and whatever the fuck. So it don't matter if I like it, if I don't buy it, it don't matter. So it's just my opinion, and it's just what it is. No fronting allowed.
Well, to me, this is probably going to be his last album. The way this one got smoked.
All right.
This might be his last one.
So
he going to get features on other people's shit.
So let's talk about that. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is the Rick Ross Peanut Gallery. And that consists of everybody you can think of. Joe Budden's in the Peanut Gallery, Academics 50. There's a Peanut Gallery. And I guess I want to start with Joe Budden's podcast, because they talked about Ross's album sales. And it basically turned out that he sold about 26,000 records, equivalents, whatever the fuck that is. Day and age, yeah, right, I know.
There's no fucking equivalent to buying an album.
I know,
there's
I hate
no,
that shit.
There's no equivalent. You can't even compare the two.
That goes for any of them.
Oh, that's true.
Streaming people.
I hate that shit too. But anyway, so they're discussing about, you know, 25, 26, you know. And there's a part in the podcast where the guy was like, you know, really at 25K, that's not bad for a legacy act. Ross is not a new guy. He's been around for a while. And then the next guy was like, nah, but they, now whoever they are, I'm thinking kids, nah, they want fucking number one at 300,000 first week out to validate. And I was like, wow. Wow. I mean, it was. I was surprised because sometimes you don't get that type of even-handed perspective from Budden and them niggas, you know? And then Budden's question, like I did a little bit earlier, about his label situation, whether his label was really able to do what they're supposed to do. But nonetheless, $25K for a legacy group is in this streaming age, you know, I mean, I guess it's okay. I'm not pumping his numbers, but on the other spectrum of the peanut gallery was Academics, who's saying this proves that everything that I said about Drake is right, that all Rick Ross fans don't fuck with Ross because he shitted on Drake. Now, Academics has got to be the worst person ever.
Damn.
He's got to be the worst person ever.
In rap?
Well, he don't rap.
He don't rap. He just
in that arena.
Yeah, he's just got to be the worst person ever because
he's the glazed donut.
He's insufferable. He's insufferable.
That's a new one. He's the glazed donut, so forevermore.
Okay.
Krispy Kreme.
All right. So there you go. That's Kurt G published a new Joan. Academics, it's Glaze, Krispy Kreme.
His new name is Krispy Kreme.
But that being said, you know, how everything goes back to, I mean, I can't imagine, like Ross, who premised his whole career on that super paid image, drug dealer, a million cars, Ack's whole career is fluffing this nigga. He's flats all day. It's fluffing this nigga.
Some young folks might not know what a fluffer is, but I'll tell you a year later.
just the way he said it, you could probably pick up what he's putting down.
I'm just saying, man. This has got to be the worst
Vanessa
person.
Del Rio.
I would
Krispy Kreme.
I would respect. Look, I would respect Ack more if he came just like the way you came. You don't like the fucking record, and you say so. All right, there's nothing wrong with that. If you don't like the record, you don't like it. Then exactly. Say it. You know, what does that got to do with fluffing a motherfucker?
He on payroll.
He definitely on payroll now.
Yeah, I know.
If he wasn't before, he is now.
No doubt. And then lastly, in the peanut gallery is 50, who's doing his usual clown shit. I mean, he's another one who...
I expect 50 to do this.
B, 50's got a lot more shit going for him. Why does he have time to even deal with this?
Because this is the one that got away. This is to me, Rick Ross is his white whale. Everybody he went up against, he pretty much knocked them off. This nigga, for
Ross
some
survived.
Reason, survived. Yeah, he was did. Coming at him strong, like going at him hard. And that nigga just kept on standing. Because he did what most niggas don't do. He kept making music. Instead of putting all that energy into 50, he kept making music and he kept on shining.
Yeah, yeah. So
we'll put a little bail money on Ross for that, because he damn sure did that. Instead of going back and forth like everybody else did.
Took the L because you're not gonna go back and forth with that nigga. He's a professional.
Right. Right. Well, and then too, like I said, you know, the line is so, especially nowadays, the line is so blurry. When you think somebody were just doing a battle or, you know, a back and forth bars, that type of thing. Man, we're a long way from Busy B, Kumo D, and them niggas, yo.
Oh. Yeah,
jeez,
a whole different that's
the Paleozoic era.
Yeah, I know, right?
They done added the Euro step in hip hop for that bullshit. Yeah,
for real, niggas is taking 10 steps.
Yeah, fuck.
They ain't even got to put the ball on the floor. Just run right to the basket and dunk.
So, but again, like you said, you know, that's the peanut gallery. You know what I mean? And everybody is on Ross, mainly for record sales. You know, I don't know about that shit, nigga. I mean, that's dumb to begin with. Can you imagine as a fan, and you say you love hip hop, but you know what I'm saying? You come into every conversation with your calculator first. You ain't talking about you ain't even doing
equivalence, right, nigga.
We ain't,
yeah,
to me that whole game is flawed, B. Your equivalence is flawed. You can't even compare the two to a nigga walking in a store and picking up the album and buying it and physically walking out with it and can show you like you got right here in his stack. Pull that motherfucker out. Look, I got it. It's right here.
But son, but the thing is, what I mean, like talking about it with their calculators, at least as we all three talked about the record, we talked about the record.
The record, yeah.
The actual record itself. Young Bulls is like, nigga, fuck Ross. That nigga sold 25,000. He's calculated up before he even heard the record. You know what I'm saying?
Went running for that number instead of
right. What so it basically, like. it lets you know why that other guy that gets all the Krispy Kreme work, why he is where he's at. They love him because he's got numbers. You show somebody you got numbers, whether they real or not.
Let me ask you a question.
Then I love you.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, he got the numbers, but in any perspective, and I know we don't walk in them circles, so we can miss it. But in any perspective, have you heard anything about the records on that project? Like, or this is a huge hit. You know what I mean?
Well, we're not going to hear it because that's not in our orbit.
Well, no, even when that shit ain't in our orbit, when that nigga had gigantic records, we kind of knew about that shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I have a caveat. I have a caveat.
Please.
So that cat ain't nowhere near my playlist on Spotify, right? Nowhere.
No doubt.
And the whip on that, I let that virtual DJ play.
Of course, yeah.
Thing. Just to see if I catch something new. And they tried to throw that cat on there. I couldn't reach the button fast enough to get that shit up out of there.
You almost wrecked the whip trying to get him out of there.
You're not getting a spin. You're not getting a stream from me unless you got an album that I got to listen to, but not on just a humble dude.
Okay. See, and that's the thing. The other thing, yeah, I always hear from these, you know, glazers on payroll about a number, but I'm not hearing nobody say track 4 on the first record of the 3-album set is the Jones.
They were inundated. They forgot the first album.
They don't care about that, B. It's already... If all they care about is numbers, it matters. Oh, he's got 1 billion streams. All
right.
So that makes him
the man. There was
the
one
man.
Record they talked about, though. He was dissing people. That record. I don't remember the name of it or whatever, but he was dissing people. It was one of the first ones that came out. And that sparked some talk, but that faded quickly.
Okay. All right.
But out of 3 albums, that's all the talk you got. That's not looking too good.
Yeah, no doubt, right?
They're going to have to push that glaze factory to the limit.
Man, it's fresh.
Turn the light on.
Too many flies, you turn the light on. Way too many flies in this bitch. You can't see the insects when the lights is off, nigga.
Turn up the glaze.
Hey, work at your capacity, Captain. I'm giving it all I got.
Oh, damn, you just hit the Scotty and shit.
Hit him with your boy. I'm just a doctor, Jim.
The engines are at 110%.
She's taking all she can stand. She can't stand no more.
Oh, my
damn.
God.
That's your man's, though.
Oh, my God. Journey to my ready room.
LeVar Burton?
Yo, nigga.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my shit. God. All right.
So, we went off the rails there.
Yeah, we went sideways for a minute.
Shit. Gotta add a little levity to this shit.
Yeah, we went sideways for a minute.
We was way, we were too deep in the glaze, my nigga.
All right, so I think there's a lesson here. And this is not the defense of Ross, I promise you. But there is a lesson, okay? Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest, 90% of hip hop classics.
90%?
90. Listen to what I'm telling you.
I want to hear this.
90% of hip hop classics do not sell on the first week. And I took the liberty to do a cross section. This isn't all. Trust me when I tell you. When I seen the list.
Before you get too deep into this.
Yes, sir.
So you're telling me that this Ross album is a classic?
No. This is not. Nah, I already put the disclaimer out there.
Okay.
This is not in defense of Ross.
Okay.
But this is just.
Strictly by the numbers.
It's strictly by the numbers because there are records in hip hop that have sold enormous copies, but motherfuckers is using them shits for coasters. But I'm telling you, let me go through the list because this is a cross section.
Classics.
Of nine, and this is the key thing I'm trying to tell you. 90% of hip hop classics don't sell the first week. All right, cross section.
Okay.
Reasonable Doubt. Jay-Z debuted at number 23. Sold 34,000 copies the first week. Now, that's when you had to go to the store. Okay? Hov and them niggas had to resort to out the trunk. All right?
Was that the album that was released on 9/11?
No. I thought that was
Blueprint or something like that.
One of them did that.
I'm not sure which one.
I had a little extra change. I gave him some bail money, but I got you.
All right. So anyway, but let me continue on. Souls of Mischief, 93 Till Infinity. Now, I don't have first week numbers for all of these, but obviously Underground record, it failed to sell. Let me see here. It reached 85 on the Billboard Top 200. Okay, Souls of Mischief, 93 Till Infinity. We're talking about hip-hop classics here. As I continue on, De La Soul, Balloon Mind State, 1993.
Oh, that's a good album.
B. Matter of fact, you can throw De La's whole catalog because them motherfuckers, they never sell. They have never, ever sold a lot of records. Ever. All right? But let me continue. Illmatic, 1994. Sold 59,000 copies first week, okay? It took 7 years to go platinum. Ooh. All right? Let me continue on. The Far Side, The Bizarre Ride 2.
Oh, boy, that's a good one.
1992, okay? Don't even have a chart position for that. And as a matter of fact, you can add Lab Cabin California into that. Both of those records did not sell despite the ridiculous amount of hits because both of them records are classics. All right.
Yep.
As I continue on, MF Doom, Operation Doomsday.
But Doom, everything he does didn't sell nothing. He just was, he's a cult. He's like pretty much like a cult nigga.
Yeah, it is another one. Was a zero chart position, but it changed everything in underground hip hop. All right, let me continue on. Speaking of AZ, Doe or Die, 93. Again, zero chart position.
Sugar Free.
Didn't sell. Okay, I got a little something. People think, oh, nigga, you going super underground. All right, Blue in Exile, Below the Heavens, 2007.
Oh, that's an excellent album.
It's a great record. It's a great record. Zero chart position. And last but not least, this is just a cross section. Mobb Deep, The Infamous. First week sales, nigga, under 10,000.
I thought you were going to say Juvenile Hell.
No.
Oh, yeah, that would have been hurting.
Well, B, under 10,000.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
and that's definitely a classic.
Yeah. It debuted at number 49 on the Billboard Classic. And the list was huge. It was huge at the number of classics that were on that record that didn't sell first week.
Well, to me, that sounds like an indictment on us, the hip hop listeners, to have not gone out and supported those. As we know, all the albums you said are great. But we didn't go, we as a collective,
yeah,
didn't run out there and buy the albums. So. I mean, but
I think it would.
You're kind of to blame for that too. Well, not all, because some of us have those albums right here and definitely over there. But as a hip hop collective, and that's always been a knock, that we don't buy music.
That's true. But I think it would also explain the disconnect. Because while you have the camp over there who's working at the glaze factory, when it's all nothing but numbers, but the music itself doesn't mean anything. So they don't really, they don't really become classics. They only become classics in numbers only. You know what I'm saying?
To them.
To the right. To the versus the stuff that really didn't sell. You know what I'm saying? Whether you like Reasonable Doubt or Illmatic or De La or Soul's Far Side, it doesn't really matter. I mean, when you see the picture that I'm drawing here. These records become classic. So that's why.
Quality over quantity.
Right. Well, that's why you see, I'm just saying, for example, just like anybody else, YouTube and this shit, Souls of Mischief out in D.C. on the porch at Nucci's. Doing records from 93 to infinity. I mean, what the fuck?
I love that. Every time he does when I watch that shit.
Yo, it's incredible. And a lot of these groups, whether if it's the Nucci's or Tiny Desk or even that nigga riding around in a Cadillac now.
Cadillac Chronicles.
Right. He's pulling the classics that probably didn't sell. You know what I'm saying? Because he can't pull the, if you take the niggas in the last 5 years.
Busy B on there recently.
B, you pulled the niggas from the last 5 years, and you can't put them on there because that shit is already just forgotten.
I don't. There may be, just like there's an audience for what we like about that stuff. I'm not going to sit here and say that there's probably not an audience. If who's the guy who's saying everybody? Chingy or some shit. They put Chingy in there. He's gonna get views, yo.
Okay, I mean,
just so, because that's a niche thing. Those Nucci's and Cadillacs.
I'm just saying. So, I'm trying to think of a motherfucker. Does Wiz Khalifa draw massive numbers considering the pop records he's had? Does he massive move? Does Wiz Khalifa draw massive numbers? And I hate
on
the use
shows.
Yes.
Ooh, if he get on there singing Black and Yellow, probably because usually they do one or two songs and they talk. At least on Cadillac Chronicles, Nucci's they do records,
right?
Tiny Desk they do albums, right? So I don't know. I could imagine him getting some numbers. Wiz Khalifa.
For goodness sake, they had the Blackbirds on Nucci's doing Rock Creek Park and all that breakbeat
shit.
Yes,
they did.
Nigga. I mean, I'm trying to think. You think Chief Keef at
now
Tiny Desk in Nucci's? No, I'm saying nah. Chief Keef. So, I mean, in his day was
Mickey
a major.
Thompson tires digging in right there. That ain't happening.
So I'm just saying, B, but Chief Keef, you couldn't tell young niggas that Chief Keef wasn't that dude.
That's that shit I don't like.
You
know what I'm saying? But you put Chief Keef up Nucci's or Tiny Desk or Cadillac? What's
man.
Up?
He gonna do one song. Curtis just said.
Yeah, Love Sosa.
Okay, all right, so I'm just saying. 90% of hip-hop classics generally do not sell the first week, if at all. Okay? The exceptions on that particular list, Jay eventually did go platinum probably a year and a half later. Took Nas 7 years, you know. I mean, De La's never sold, but I just seen De La Soul at the North Sea Jazz Festival along with Roots, which is an incredible show, by the way. By the way, if you don't see it, YouTube, son. Incredible. So, I don't know. I don't know.
Motherfuckers. Are there any new classics? Would you consider anything in the last 15 years a new classic?
Yeah, I got a list of what I consider now in this day and age. It's a personal classic.
Okay.
I do. I think those records are classics. You know what I'm saying? I believe that the majority. Not all the stuff that Mass Appeal put out, but God, a good amount of it is classics. I think The Last Clips is classic. Oh my God, I think that's a classic. But, you know,
Okay, let me take it a little further since we're here.
Okay.
Could you, and you especially, Kirk, because you dabble, would you consider, and I said the last 15 years because that includes them dudes with that staccato thing out of Atlanta there, who I just used recently for you, Kirk. But anyway, any classic Migos albums, any classic Soulja Boy, any would you consider any of that stuff classic?
For me personally, I don't
bored
think.
You.
For me personally, I don't think the Migos made anything as far as album wise. They made songs better, but as far as album wise, I think their first album to me was it. I don't think they made anything better than that. They was jumping out the gym.
I seen, and I don't know because I flipped past it really quick, but I did stay long enough to see Young Boys on a pod talk about classics or what they considered to be classics, and they named probably the people that we certainly would never name. They was like, yo, this record by Future was a classic. They named Future. They named Gucci. And who the fuck else was
wow.
it? It was like three people.
Wouldn't Jeezy be in there too?
I don't
know. Jeezy's too popular for that. You talking about people that was like that?
I'm saying at all. At all in that time frame.
Oh, in that time frame.
Jeezy and them. I just couldn't. I can't think of all the damn names, but you know.
But Jeezy's probably got a couple classic joints then. I can see niggas naming off a few Jeezy joints.
I think couple obviously younger than us would name at least two Jeezy, but I think there's a good amount of people who would name records that we would never even consider. Again, the Gucci and the Future listeners.
No Limit got anything classic?
That's a conversation for Diff.
Well, he's gonna say yes. Obviously, I'm asking. You know, just off the top.
One record, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, we know yours.
Ice Cream Man.
That's it. Just like Conor DeBross, you know what I mean? One record.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know what I mean?
Well, then history will either be kind or it won't. All right. That time frame. We'll see.
All right. That's what's up. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, it's a special topic. It's a DJ topic. All right. So let me explain this here. In hip hop history, I believe there's only six at best albums that feature the DJ very prominent. There's not a lot of fucking records. I mean, we call it hip hop and there's a lot of rapping and shit. You know what I mean? Great production, the whole shit. Not a lot of records that got the DJ very prominent. There's only like five or six of them. Now, that's all I can think of. It's a low budget show. Well, I ain't got no staff.
It's all good.
So shout out to the name a couple. Yeah, I'm gonna get to that. I'm gonna get to that. But I want to preface this by saying what I mean by that is that you can't be in a DJ crew. You can't be from the Executioners. You can't be from the Invisible Scratch Pickles. Any of that shit.
It has to be a.
It has to be a DJ group? with MCs, and prominently showing their DJ.
Primo got to be part of some of that.
Let me get to that.
I can think of Primo.
So there's an upper room. So there's three DJs that are in an upper room. Not that they're the best, but they belong in an upper room because of record performance. Okay? And the first would be, obviously, would be Grandmaster Flash. Grandmaster Flash on the Wheels of Steel, 1981. People fail to realize this shit was done by hand. Okay? Yeah. This shit is way before computers and putting edits and, you know, a take three on that cut. This is done by hand. Okay. 1981. He set the stage. If he doesn't do this, none of this shit exists anyway. Number two on that list would be Jazzy Jeff, A Touch of Jazz. He was only aided by a drum machine, but he put the records together similarly to Grandmaster Flash on A Touch of Jazz, off Jazzy Jeff and the First Prince first album. And then third in that upper room is DJ Premier, which is DJ Premier and Deep Concentration. So now I could be missing shit. So the text chain, if you know of any, please. And I will definitely give you a shout out on the next show. But that's the upper room. But so, let me get to... Go ahead.
Never mind. Go ahead.
No, but now I want to get to the rap albums that featured the DJ so prominent, okay, that it's so rare.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
I gotta interrupt. We don't need to wait for the text chain. And I may have zoned the fuck out for a second. Did you say Terminator X? Edge of Panic.
I did not say that.
Terminator X.
I didn't put.
He was clearly featured.
How about
Hold up, B. Hold up.
Casanova Rudd and.
You're fucking up the game. Kurt.
I got a list. Okay, my bad. I'm just saying I got a list, and you can add, and that's what we're gonna talk about after I run the list, because I think it's a very very small list. There are DJs who you hear on record, but they're not really featured super tough.
Spinnerella.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying.
Tap Money.
All right. Okay. So here we go. This is not in order. Okay. This is not in order, but these are the records that I was thinking about in my history that really featured the DJ on a lot of records. First album is Cash Money and the Marvelous. Where's the Party At? 1988. Cash Money is featured on that record.
Philly.
Crazy. Shout out to Philly, no doubt. 215, you know. Now, the thing about that record is that they tell a great story about Mantronics producing like 70% of the record and then got into a beef with them niggas at Sleeping Bag. And then so he said, fuck that, and then bounced. And then so they were going to finish the record, but he said Sleeping Bag didn't trust them. So they paid Herbie Lovebug to put his name as production on the record. And he played one part on one of the singles of like Herbie Love on the beat. But he's like, that's not a Herbie beat. That's Mantronics. So that's a
very
funny.
Too.
Yeah, that's an interesting story on that. But I'm telling you, if you're doing the research and you haven't heard this record, even if you've given it the smell test, listen for the DJ because he's cutting on almost every record. All right, next on the list here, Rodney O and Joe Cooley. Oh, Me and Joe, 1988. Yeah. Nigga, let me tell you, do a confession. I remember I was at the fucking Wiz.
Damn.
And them niggas had that Rodney O and Joe Cooley on, right?
Nigga, you... Oh!
Yeah. So they had a fucking record on, right? And I'm standing there, and I'm looking at the cover, and I'm dissing them niggas because them niggas got that curl press shit, that California shit. But Joe Cooley is fucking murdering the record, and I'm like, jeez, he's a fucking problem, right? He is a problem, you know. Never got the credit they deserve, but I'm telling you, if you listen to Me and Joe, Rodney O and Joe Cooley, first record, it is one of the best representations of DJing in hip-hop. I'm telling you, it's crazy. People need to, I'm telling you, the DJ featured prominently. Next on that list, Two Live is what they are. Ugh. Nigga.
Mm.
Nigga,
he don't get a lot of respect.
Nigga, no. Mr. Mix.
Mr. Mix is a monster.
Government named David Hobbs.
A monster. Nigga,
he is cutting on mostly every record on that Two Live Crew record.
Sheesh.
And gets a full mega mix in there. I mean, he is doing his thing as far as the DJ being featured prominently. All right. Next record on that list here is Tough Crew.
Ooh.
Philly once again.
So damn tough.
Back to Wreck Shop.
Mm.
B, I'm going to be dead ass honest
Philly
with you.
Is a problem.
I'm going to be dead ass honest with you. I probably would be in a serious debate. I'm telling you, DJ Too Tough.
Crazy.
Is fucking... His cutting on that record,
nasty.
I don't know. It's probably one of my favorites. from a DJ that
perfectly
cutting.
Displays his skills.
Oh my perfect. God. And again, Philly is showing up tough because Philly is a problem. You know what I mean? When it comes to DJing, at least in that time frame. All right.
Right.
Again, not in order. Next record is Gangstar, Step Into the Arena. So,
step.
Preem, it's a revolution in cutting because unlike those other records, Preem is a technician. And what he cuts and how he cuts is musical instrument-like. It is that intricate.
He is creating the hook
for
the song.
Oh, good Lord. Preem is on, and there's only two people on the upper room and on the list. And obviously, last on this list. And I wasn't going to include it, but I said, I got to listen to it. Kirk G came in. I'm still listening to it because I had to review it. It was Jazzy Jeff from the Fresh Prince. He's the DJ. I'm the rapper.
Yes, sir.
Live at Union Square, or that Jive Rhythm Tracks joint. Jeff.
Man.
Jeff is ridiculous.
I'm not worthy.
And still ridiculous.
Right.
To this day.
Right. So those are the records.
Wait. You said last, but I want to slap this in there.
Oh, please.
My man gets slighted a lot, actually.
Okay. All right.
No love for DJ Scratch?
So... DJ Scratch is not featured. I mean, he's on there, but he's not. If you listen to EPMD records with mm-hmm. Scratch, mm-hmm. the early EPMDs, Caleb Boss got a little bit more run, I think, than Scratch. Now, Scratch was doing production too. Now, he was actually doing some production in there.
Are we talking about DJing, though?
Yeah, but I'm talking about specifically not how good the DJ is, but how much he was featured on the record.
Yeah, Scratch wasn't featured. He was basically Spinderella.
I ain't gonna throw him down like that.
What's the group name? EPMD, right? Eric and Parrish.
Yeah, but he's got records on there where you obviously hear him cutting, and plus he has his own DJ record. So Spinderella didn't even get that.
Spinderella's not a fella.
not like that. Again, it's not about how good the DJ was.
Okay.
It was about just how props. Much they were featured on the record. That's the key thing.
What's that kid who was DJing for a minute with the Beastie Boys?
Hurricane?
No, not him. The other cat that came around later in the game. Damn, he's a big time, one of them big time DJs. They pay all over the place now. Damn it.
Danger Mouse? His name.
Nah. It'll come to me later.
Hmm.
Obviously, not enough because he was a fucking cutting and scratching ass dude too.
Nah, you're right. I mean, and you named Terminator X earlier. Now, there are some things, again, as the DJ, like, again, Jam Master J wasn't named, you know, Terminator X wasn't named. Now, these people live in concert and how good they were, that's another story, you know, to the performance on the record, the performance on Wax. And the records that I named, to me, have a significant amount of cutting and scratching.
Okay.
Have us on the record. That's why DJ Scratch wasn't in there. Now, again, I could be wrong. Don't name Executioners. Invisible Scratch Pickles, none of them niggas.
That's a whole different thing.
Yes. Yeah, that's a whole different thing. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Think of no West Coast cats? Can't think of any off the top of my head.
Again, like I said, Rodney O and Joe Cooley.
Well, I mean, besides them. Because Dr. J. Dr. Dre. I'm thinking Philly. We going to the bowl. I'm just playing. I know what I'm saying. Dr. Dre. Not a DJ.
Well, he was a DJ
with the World Class Wrecking Crew.
Right, but again, he had transitioned into production at that point. That's what I'm trying to tell you, yo. The records that I pulled out, I'm not saying they're the only ones, but it is super, super rare in hip hop. Super rare to have the DJ really featured in the records. And most of the records on there.
I'm about to kill you.
Okay, man, please.
DJ. was on every record.
Yeah, but he wasn't cutting and scratching.
No, when we saw when he tried to do it in his little lab, what happened with that? So just playing, man.
So anyway, shout to the text chain and the listeners. You can think of a record. You know what I'm saying? I don't even care if it's new niggas. It really doesn't matter to me if it's a group and they consist of an MC or two MCs with the DJ, and they got the DJ on there heavily. Yo, yeah. You talk about that. You know what I'm saying? But I can't think of any ones off the top of my head other than the ones I thought of.
That's pretty comprehensive. Now, obviously, there will be more.
But I'm quite sure there's more.
Yeah,
just stuff that we didn't listen to.
Oh, of course.
Or we forgot about them.
What Cube say? Either don't know, don't show.
Don't care.
I just watched that the other day,
what's
too.
Going on
Me
in the
too. Oh, okay. Yo, I had a whole blaxploitation, a 90s blaxploitation movie set the other weekend. Mm-hmm. All that shit. That little kid, Deuce. All that shit. All
right, that's what's up.
But anyway.
All right, that's what's up. All right, next time we're going to Hip Hop Digest. This is E Color. Man, he bring up that. So, I remember there was a statement from Nelly. Mm. And Nelly was saying that he thought that he competed in the toughest era in hip hop history. He competed. And again, this is back. There's a theme of the show again. We're on sales here. Yeah, we're on sales. But he said he competed quite well because he said when he was out, Jay was up. DMX was up. Himself. I don't know. So what is that? Would that be the late 90s?
Mid-90s.
Jay, X, Nelly. Would that be late 90s?
Mid-late 90s. Mid to late.
Trying to think, is there anybody else, again, sales-wise, that we can throw in there?
Ja Rule.
Ja Rule. Ja Rule, yeah. No doubt. Yeah, no doubt. Was Puffin' them active then? Biggie.
Were,
okay, so yeah. I guess you could throw Biggie in there. You know, Mace, I guess. You can get sales.
That's when Mace was running it.
Yeah. That's when Mace was running it?
Biggie was gone.
Okay. So, that being said, you know, Nelly claims... he was a factor, but Egri is saying for us dinosaurs who can't believe it, Nelly is now considered old. Matter of fact, super old.
Old school music.
Yeah. Nelly's unk right now.
Yeah, and I say that, you know, here in Vegas they actually have radio stations that play a variety of music. And I forget which day it is. Maybe it's Throwback Thursday or Throwback Tuesday. I don't know. But sometimes I do listen because, again, Vegas has a decent radio station, 88.1. And they were saying, we're about to get in some old school. And they threw on Nelly. And I was like, wow, I wonder how they feel about being called old school. Because we have been old school for the longest, right?
Cold G crush said all earlier, that. Will you say we're Mesozoic era?
Yeah. We way back.
Yeah, we're that. We're fossils, right?
Definitely.
So now that they're calling 90s music old school, like, woo, I mean, but I can get it. I can see it. If I look at the picture, I can see it from where music was then to where music is now.
Well, I think old school for kids, the dividing line is 30. Mm-hmm. I think the dividing line is 30. I think once you hit 30 amongst the youth, that's it. You know, your old unk or whatever the terminology is at the time. So once you hit 30, so again, whether if it's the Soulja Boys or the Nellies or any of these other clowns, you know, they're all considered old school. Now, back to the reason why hip hop is suffering now, still to this day, even if you want to consider them old school. Again, imagine somebody saying, like we mentioned earlier, Original Concept. I mean, the nerve. I mean, the nerve.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, fuck it. I'd be like, yo, we're going to do a playlist, and I'm going to do Dizzy Gillespie, Original Concept, and Louis Armstrong. And to a fucking kid, they're going to be like, hey, what is that shit? Oh, 1920s.
Hell, somebody saying Dr. Dre of Original Concept won't even understand.
Well, yeah, that's true too.
They only know one Dr. Dre.
Right. So, yeah, I think that's just a matter of, and that's going to be, that's going to be.
But I wonder how they'll embrace it, though, because it, we seem to have embraced it not in a negative way. Like, call it old school if you want. This is dope-ass bars right here.
Well, I believe the key thing that we embraced it and now in our embracing is also lobbying for, and what we need is a separation, because it's clearly not a continuation of hip hop. So you have to stop. So whether if it's the traditional hip hop, like they gave, you know, R&B back in the days, traditional R&B versus, you know, fucking Teddy Riley and them niggas and Bell Biv DeVoe, New Jacket swinging it. Yeah,
new jacket swinging it.
Yeah, them niggas. I'm just saying, Smokey Robinson and niggas wasn't really going for it. You know what I mean? Let's just be honest here.
Shit, Smokey got his own laugh out. Nigga, what are you talking about?
So I'm just saying, I'm just give saying an example of that. You know what I mean? So that's what we, as far as embracing it, saying, look, Don Toliver, you do you, nigga. Mm-hmm. But you ain't hip hop. I don't give a fuck what you call it or what you guys want to name it. So we're fighting as we're embracing it, but we're, you know, fuck it. You got to identify that shit, nigga.
We've been saying that shit for 20 years.
We've been saying it for 20 years.
Happening.
It ain't happening. Yeah,
they're going to keep it ain't happening to the title.
And it ain't happening unless we do it.
We've been doing it for 20 years.
And I don't mean us like small time niggas. I'm talking about
okay.
Until... You got motherfuckers, you know who I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm talking about a super paid motherfuckers. And still, until they start doing it.
Ain't gonna happen.
Really?
It would have already happened, B. Especially with a particular super paid you're talking about. It ain't gonna happen. It ain't gonna happen. So I have come to embrace it. That I, in my mind, I can call it
okay,
classic.
Okay, so all right, so we got one particular super paid that we're talking about, but I think people do it in their own way. And I talked earlier off air about LL Cool J, Salute the Sample. That's a great segment. That's a great little show he got. It is so instructive when they sit up there and they break down the samples of popular records. That's hip hop. And LL Cool J is showing you that this is hip hop. Again, to me, Nas, what he's done with Mass Appeal and shit, you know what I mean? It's a record label.
That's all we asked for.
Yeah, this is so. I don't know about that, son. I think it's going to take more work than you think. I think it took a lot of work from the R&B singers from the 50s, 60s, and 70s saying, you motherfucking New Jacket swinging it, niggas, and whatever you call an R&B ain't R&B. This is traditional. What we do is traditional. What you do is what you do. And we want to, I want to get a young cast freedom in that, too. You know what I mean?
But they're
the
not,
fuck out of town, please, nigga. Get out of my town.
You're not gonna do I'm it. Like you that, ain't got no sundown town.
I'm like that sheriff in town.
Yeah, I'm like that sheriff and shit who told Rambo and shit, this is my town. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well,
get the fuck out of my
overrun.
Town. I know, right?
Getting overrun. So I mean, look, B, I'm gonna be happy in my 55 plus community. I'm good. They can call hip hop, they can call whatever they want, but at the end of the day, we know it ain't. It's part of rap. Can't deny that.
B, you got
it.
You got to be able to stand on business.
B, 20 years. What has changed? What we've had all different kind of
don't matter
amalgamations of rap music, and it's still called hip-hop.
B,
hip-hop and R&B, when we know it's not, but it's still that.
Gotta stand on business. If you don't stand on business,
I just stood on business by saying that what it is. What is your definition of standing on business?
My definition of standing on business is again always being ready to articulate that what Young Bowles is doing, and particularly Young Bulls at the top of the charts or whatever. And again, like I said, it ain't about their money. I hope they make generational money to take care of their families, yo. Just, you know, my instruction to anyone.
Stay the fuck out of hip-hop.
It's not hip-hop. I don't give a fuck what you call it and what you doing, but it's not hip-hop.
It is not going to change. I'm telling you that.
B, right. I'm saying it's not happening. That you, if you got to stand on business. So
B, I will have the conversation. You will have the conversation. Kurt will have the conversation. A whole lot of heads on the text chain will have the conversation. And that's fine. That is standing on business. But them young bulls, as you call them, are standing on business, financial business, not the rap game.
See,
or
them
not
motherfucking
hip-hop.
Young bulls is, if they call them motherfucker logs full of shit, it wouldn't matter. They going to do what they do. It don't matter to them young bulls. You see, you acting like the young bulls got a stake in being called hip hop.
No. They got a stake in getting money.
Okay, and I hope they get money, but ain't got nothing to do with the title.
Be until hip hop, to steal a phrase from Nas, until hip hop really dies, and when I say dies, I mean commercially, when there's no more money in that shit.
No doubt.
Until then, they will remain calling themselves hip hop or rappers or MCs even.
I think they will. Okay, so let me correct you. I don't think they even calling themselves hip hop. I think they just getting labeled that. From the labels. And that's where, again, that, right. So I don't think, again, I don't think any young bull who getting money cares what they call him as long as he get money.
I think you're right until they get a fuck on in an interview and somebody like you or us says, well, how do you consider yourself hip hop? Then they're going to argue. They're going to, whatever their flawed thought process is, they're going to argue.
I'm sure they would be offended by me calling them logs, but you know.
Well, not even that. Just like we're always respectful. No matter who's
I know,
here,
right. I'm just clowning. But yes, I feel you on that. And you're right. I'm not arguing that point. They would feel backed into a corner like you disrespecting them. Yep. And what do you mean?
Yeah, you broke. And then walk off. Right. Try to get us fucking. Who will fire us? Shit. So that's my only point is that it is a title only. It is not a lifestyle like it was when it was created and what we've been living all of these years. It's a fucking lifestyle. You see behind me. I see your lab. I know what Kurt's got going on. T-Bear, everybody, I see what's going on, living the culture. But these young cats, the culture to them is getting money. So, yes, I don't think they give a shit when they lay down and go to sleep like, damn, them niggas don't think I'm hip-hop. They don't give a fuck. They care about that money. But if they got on with a respectable hip-hop conversation, it would be ugly. Because they got to defend themselves then. So it ain't, but end of the day, what I'm saying, it ain't going to change. It hasn't changed in 20. You said 30 is the magic number. Maybe in another 10 years, it'll change, but it has not changed in 20 years of them just calling everything hip hop and R&B. Like the fucking TLC was called hip hop. B, come on,
B. And I can't let you do it, B. I can't let you.
I didn't do it.
I guess again, like I said, yes, the labels and the people in charge, and see, there was a lot of us in charge when TLC was running that shit. Okay, again, LaFace, that was a black-owned fucking label. Well, at least partly. I mean, was the devil wasn't involved? Was that Clive or the devil who was LaFace?
The LaFace.
Anyway, but I'm just saying. Okay, yeah, the parent label, of course, yeah, was backed by one of them too. But although saying so again, so the marketing department at LaFace, you know, I mean, the marketing department
who had a rapper, Lift Eye.
Yeah, well, again, who was lobbying up at the Source at that time to get him on the cover? I mean, so I'm not discounting what you're saying. I just can't take, I can't, the responsibility is, that's why the burden is at our feet, because
Absolutely. We
fucking was dealing with that shit instead of, you know, I don't know, fucking, who the fuck came up with New Jack Swinging and shit? I don't know.
But that was good.
But that was good because that was a particular situation or whatever. I mean, they could have been the new queens of that shit. Who wanted to put them in a rap category? I don't know. You know what I mean? And that's the same for a lot of different things. I mean, again, like I said, Mary J. Blige, and I remember specifically reading about the justification, because you weren't the only one who was like, damn, yo, I mean, she sing, but she's not hip hop. But then they were like, yeah, but she's singing over breakbeats.
Yeah.
And they, and the production out of that camp was breakbeats. And those breakbeats could have went to Grand Poobah just as easily as the Mary.
For sure.
So.
For sure. But we can't say that about some of this new music.
Yeah, no doubt.
No Might doubt. Not translate.
No doubt. So, all right, son, are we ready for the digital freaks?
Nope. Because you're trying to let a topic slip, my G.
Okay. What am I slipping?
We're going to put 5-7 minutes on this, maybe.
Okay.
One of the biggest topics going on right now.
Well, then you introduce the topic, son, and we'll go
with. Okay. Okay. So, Jada, not talking about Pinkett.
Oh, that.
And Special 38. I mean, I on record saying that I appreciate 38 Special's ability to tell these drug stories, but that's not something I want to listen to all the time. That whole interview with him kicked off what's happening now. These slight records going back. Well, I don't even think Jada replied. I think that was some old AI shit that somebody threw out there from Jada, because you just never know these days.
Right, know. Yeah.
But do you think that 38 is stepping out of line, or is this just par for the course in rap and hip hop music?
It's a miscalculation, first of all. It was a total unforced miscalculation. There was no safeguards put in. Nobody in his camp was like, bruh, not Jada, no. Chief Keef, do somebody else, be not Jada. And because of that, now you have motherfuckers threatening each other. You know, nigga shit, dumb ass nigga shit, yeah, that is popping up out of nowhere, because now you have given an opportunity to a bunch of fucking slug ass, no good jail niggas. You know what I mean? To get involved. Nigga, I'm repping this. Nigga, I'm repping Rochester. New York City niggas thinking XYZ. Dumb.
Now, and Rochester as well.
Whatever. Buffalo, Rochester, any of that upstate shit. Yeah, dumb. You know, because it was never going to be a lyrical sparring match between Jada Kiss and 38. And I don't give a fuck how big of a fan you are, 38. Again, like I said on a previous show, 38's done one of my favorite records this decade. I fuck with his production, no doubt. But come on, bruh. Not Kiss. That's why I said, again, before, it reminds me of the Jimmy play. Reminds me of the Max B play. Try to find someone who's going to spark the biggest outrage. But guess what? You know what I'm saying? Motherfucker, what's that motherfucker, Smokey the Bear? Only you can prevent forest fires. And nigga, now it's a fire.
It's definitely a fire.
Now it's a fire.
That's a fire.
Well, do you think Jada in reality will reply?
He doesn't have to now.
The young boys are asking for it.
They're asking
for the reply.
They can ask for whatever they want, but Jada doesn't have to reply now.
Not now, because of their fire.
It's a fire now. So if Jada pull
an LL.
So the only thing Jada could do is try to put the fire out.
Yep.
That's the only thing he can do. He can't come in and try to add on to the fire. It's a blaze now.
He shouldn't make a record.
Because it's a California wildfire right now. Everybody's jumping in. Embers jumping all across the street. Niggas is saying whatever. Like you said, jail niggas jumping in. Now this shit could end up somebody getting shot or some dumb shit going on.
Terrible.
Taking it to a whole new place that it shouldn't go.
And so that's why when you do shit like this, especially, and I'm disappointed at 38. Because, A, number one, he didn't need to do it. And then number two, it was never going to be a lyrical situation. JD's just too good. He's just too good. He's too battle tested. And now, because the shit's out of control, Jada, and I think I could put good money on it. He don't respond. He don't even get in.
A lot of side cats responding.
Well, that's that. And he can't control them nut niggas. He can't control them, you know. But this is at the hands of 38, who, I don't know, you know, again, it's the Jimmy play. It's the Max B play. And then that's where older heads, now whether you like Fat Joe again, oh, I ain't fucking with Fat Joe. B, I don't give a fuck about that. But what he was saying is right. You can't diss Rakim. You can't diss Big Daddy Kane. You can't diss Care. You can't diss people. You just can't fucking diss.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So let's cut this. And 38 was out of pocket. Maybe his heart was thinking, yo, I'm gonna get some shit ginned up or whatever. But come on, bro. You're not in that league. Again, plenty of niggas he could have dissed.
There's plenty of niggas that he could have dissed. But to me, this was just emotional to me. I think it was an emotional decision that he made. He let his emotions get the best of him. I don't see him trying to troll to get some reply out of Jada. This was just him emotional because Jada didn't reply to him saying, I want to do a record with you. Basically, what it came down to, I put out a feeler for you to do a record with me. I approached you in all different type of ways for you to do a record with me. I offered you money. I said, I hit you in the DM. I did all of this. And you didn't say anything about doing a record with me. So now you must be scared. You're ducking me because you don't want to get on a record with me because I got the best of you on this one record. So now you said that shit, but now when you say some shit like that about somebody that like Kiss, who is beloved in hip hop, underground and not underground, niggas just love Kiss. He's just that type of dude. And so it's a whole bunch of people jumping up to take his place to come at this nigga. And to act like, really what's getting me is the niggas act like 38 Special is a bum.
He's not a bum.
He's not a fucking bum.
Yeah, but
he's good at what he does, but he's not good at
his attitude. He's not what Kiss does.
Right.
But he's not a fucking bum. Like, this nigga's just somebody you could just play with. But it's taking it to a different place is what I don't like about it. When you start letting these jail niggas that just came home, so now they got a voice. Mm-hmm. Feel like they got a voice, and they can now it's in their lane now. Oh, this nigga talking tough. Talking tough. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's my lane.
So was Sean Carter right in that GQ interview?
I mean, let's say this. If you just listen to the words that are coming out of his mouth, yes, he was right. But if you take the context and of what he was saying,
he was in the wrong spirit.
The wrong spirit of what he was saying. He was especially coming from the wrong messenger.
Yep.
When you out here making super ugly, you coming from the wrong messenger.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, I don't. Jay, fuck that. God, I'm in that camp because you was way wrong. You know what I mean? The pastor got his hand in the offering plate. You know what I mean? That's how I'm taking that. You know what I'm saying? And as of late, I'm giving Jay a lot of leeway, but God damn it, he was wrong. But remind me of an interesting story. One of my favorite stories. Deb Antony was telling the story about they recording Waka Flocka record. I'm just saying, you're talking about how this shit get out of control, right? And so Waka Flocka, so Gucci is like, yo, whatever, 10 grand, I get on the record. So they come in or whatever, they got the 10 grand right there. So Gucci show up at the studio and shit, the 10 grand sitting on the console. He take the 10 grand and leave. He don't even do the fucking record. You know what I'm saying? Now, that would be maybe a reason that you might want to diss a nigga or that you might want to come at a nigga sideways. Just because your man just said, nah, didn't even respond or didn't want to do it. I mean, fuck, that's his prerogative. You know what I mean? Motherfuckers, look, all the time. Yo, you want to get on Hip Hop Digest? And then the next time we record, they ain't on, but we recording. It ain't even that deep.
Well, I am not, again, this is the bail money episode. I ain't shooting Jay no bail money either because of what you guys said. But I think the climate in today's climate in music and our culture and what we're seeing, it could be a reason to knock it off, to just go make records.
See, I'm gonna disagree with that because of 38's content, and it, you know, whether it's drug, you know, coke, all that shit. I mean, you know, to us, and even to a certain extent, Jada, you know, there's a lot of embers out there that allows, like Kurt G said, niggas you just coming home and niggas looking for a rep or whatever, and you allow them to be on Front Street. Now, cats, now we're going to show, now you got to show how, and maybe this is Jay's mind, and this is maybe where maybe even Jada Kiss mind, because I know Jada Kiss got people in his camp. It's going to be like, yo, you know what? Maybe we don't need no foolishness here. Just don't respond. Let that shit die out. You know what I mean? So
but, maybe somebody did that to one of my favorite rappers of all time, Royce da 5'9", with that situation with Kix, Pusha K.
That situation is just bothersome to me, but I don't have enough info. On that comment, I got you.
I'm saying how the battle culture, unless you're in those Artemis style battles where you're right there in each other's face, dissing each other with 6,000 guns, doing it on record with known artists, I'll say, it might be a thing of the past, yo.
You know what? I don't think it's a thing of the past. I think what it is that it's when you get the other elements involved. It's like, as long as it stays hip-hop, you can go back and forth all day. As long as it's just records, you can go back. It's just when other elements, and like we was just saying, when you got these niggas who feel like now it's in their arena, when you start talking tough, you start talking about getting personal with dumb
paperwork
shit.
And shit from jail. Yeah,
like, jail paperwork, talking about, yeah, this nigga's a snitch. He did this, he did that.
Right, right.
It's okay. Like, well, this is that jail nigga shit.
That'll get somebody killed for real.
Right. This is how bullets start flying, because now you're putting somebody's rep. Now even if let's say the nigga really is a snitch, and now you gotta come out here, and now you gotta go send one of your little mans out here to go put in some work now, because to show that nigga I'm tough.
You don't need that.
We don't need nothing like that. To go do some shit like this over what?
So the key thing will be, as we watch it unfold, will Jada Kiss just pipe down and let it pass? And
he hasn't done anything.
Right, he hasn't done anything. But do that from a leadership standpoint, seeing what it is and being like, I'm gonna let this shit just fade.
Pulling LL
right
versus Cannabis. LL said, I'm out. The climate is too crazy. I'm out. I'm not doing that.
But see, the thing is, Jada's not going to say anything. Mm-hmm. Now, if he really wants to be a leader on this shit, and he wants to put this fire out, even though I don't think Jada probably would, because he's like, oh, this nigga put his foot in his mouth. Fuck him. Let him deal with whatever happens. You know what I'm saying? But he should come out and be like, man, calm this shit down. This is just fucking music. He feel how he feel. Fuck it. You know what I mean? Let it go. Let's just calm this shit down. Let's put all you niggas, put your guns away. Don't go back to jail over no dumb shit.
Right.
Stay home this time.
It might be too late now, though, because I haven't done a deep dive, and I don't plan on it, but just a few things I saw,
it's the emotional shit. It's the emotional shit that happens, and it ain't even, to me, I don't even think Jada or 38 Special is going to get hit. It's side niggas that's going to get caught up in
all the
shit.
Time. Yeah,
it's a side nigga. Yeah, it's one of 38 Special little men get killed, or one of fucking Jada's, somebody that he knew from somebody else,
some
that knows
associate,
somebody else, some
yep.
associate that knows somebody from Yonkers gets knocked off. It's like, what the fuck is going on here over some dumb shit? This is over
collateral
nothing.
Damage.
This is over absolutely nothing. There ain't no bloodshed here. This ain't nothing really happened other than this nigga put his foot in his mouth and said some crazy shit over some emotional shit.
Well, to wrap it up, let's think about this for a second. Let's think about this just for a second. We talking about 40, 50 something year old men.
Exactly.
Gotta do better.
Exactly, B. It's over nothing. And that's where I'm saying Jada is saying, you know what? I'm too old for this dumb shit. I'm out of this. I'm staying out of it completely and just letting it just play out how it play out. But to me, I'm thinking Jada needs to step way the fuck up and put this fire completely out.
Because it's
going to take Jada to shut this shit down.
That would be dead ass honest with you. It would be almost unprecedented.
It would be.
Well, what they could do on their show, him and Fat Joe, have special on there.
Now that would be good.
That would be great.
That would be great. Good.
Now, the thing is, Special would have to come there by himself. Don't bring no net niggas up here that might get emotional if somebody says something wrong. You know how Joe going to come off at the mouth and say something, and nigga want to act up. Joe's still connected. Well, but he might not be active. He might not be active, but he's still connected, and shit could go crazy.
It could get sideways, but you know what, though? I don't think that Joe or Jada would allow that to happen. You have him up there. It's just like, look, you know, boom, 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 you know, squash, let it go, boom. That would be great. That would be the ultimate.
That would be.
So, but we'll see.
To be seen.
We'll see.
Especially seeing that he got a platform for this shit to happen.
Yeah, no doubt. So now,
I just wanted them 7 minutes or so.
Oh, okay, it's all good. Yeah, I wasn't trying to skip out on it. So we're ready for the world famous Digital Freaks, right?
Yes, sir.
Digital Freaks hip hop albums of the week.
All right. This week brought to you by Pete. 38 special. eight shots.
Wow.
8 shots. 38 special, 8 shots. And then brought to you by Matt J. Royal. Woes of the Creator, J. Royal. Woes of the Creator.
All right. That's what
I got
to
ask you, though. Was that already on the list that you took from, or was that actually for this week for Peter?
I took that off his list.
Okay.
I took it off his list. I said that. I know we're probably going to talk about this shit.
He would approve, I'm sure.
I'm quite sure he would. He's probably back in 38 special all the way.
He's been quiet on the text chain about it.
I think something's happened. Because I got this off of Matt's site. He said that he sent it to him. Because he's having issues, some kind of issue.
Oh, yeah, it happens. It happens.
No doubt. Pete, stay up, baby.
Yes, sir.
No doubt. All right, that's what's up. So thanks for rolling with us. You know what I mean?
Peace,
yes, sir.
We're going to do how we always do.
And Kurt Moonlighting out there. Yeah, I'm going to put you on blast. Kurt Moonlighting. Is that name, that producer name?
What,
is that somebody I know, Kurt?
What producer name?
On that track with Grayskull.
Oh, Kurt G?
Oh, you got credit for that, or did I see another nom de plume or something on that joint?
Nah, my name is Kurt G on there.
Okay.
Yeah. So must be somebody else's name on that joint.
Okay. Yeah. Kirk got a side name?
I do have a side name for house production, but not for that. That's Kurt G.
Yes, yeah. Sir.
All right.
That's a dope ass record too, by the way. Gray Skull, my man's tech son in them in Texas. We giving shout outs to everybody.
Yo, no doubt, because we're Hip Hop Digest. It's what we do.
Yes, sir.
That's what we do.
So, all right. Thank you. Give us some feedback in the text chain, and we'll see you when we do it on the flip. Peace.
Oh, and you see, we back on Instagram at least. I'm posting shit. So,
oh shit. Okay.
You can comments on there, and I'll make sure Curtin and Killer know what's going on, so we can respond to y'all on there. We in there now. We got kicked out twice in the last 2 months. So for some reason, they say we've been asking for money. I have never asked for money on that goddamn platform. So
damn hackers.
It is what it is. Yeah, I'm about to be done. Maybe it's some cast to try to steal our shit, throwing salt in the game. I don't know, but it's like, come on, yo.
Probably the same niggas that snitched on our site got us shut the fuck down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The same one. Oh, we just trying to post hip-hop music. Man, that's all.
That's it.
Let us live.
Nah. All right, peace. We're gone.
One.
Holla.